That being okay, we'll call this meeting to order then. The first item of business, consent items, is minutes of the last meeting there in your attachment. Any issues, any additions, any edits needed? Hearing none, I'll accept the motion to approve the minutes as presented.
I motion we accept the movement.
I'll move.
Minutes as written.
Second, somebody?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carried. It moves us into the regular agenda where we, first item, consider discuss act on the Gold Star Monument. First of all, we have a package in to the CDC for this coming meeting, the 27th. I will be there to present it.
What date?
27 April, 8 o'clock a.m. at City Hall, Council Chambers. It won't happen at 8, it'll happen sometime after that as they go through the agenda. But, we're asking for $20,000 in additional funds to the original approved grant, which is $145,000. That gives us enough to cover the contract, the low bid and the contractors, and will allow us then to let the contract to that contractor, which hopefully will be done so that he can start the first week of June.
Correct. That's time.
CDC's got to do their thing, and then it's got to go to City Council and all that stuff.
We're going to take it to Park Board, the actual contract amount of $158,735 tomorrow.
Okay.
In Council Chambers, because we're having a joint meeting with MCDC and the Park Board to discuss the CIP, Parks Master Plan update.
So you're looking for an additional $20,000?
Correct.
To make it $178,000 something.
$140,000.
Then it's $158,000, but there's also concrete testing and ADA inspection.
Oh, so it's...
We need like $162,500 or something like that. $162,500.
Right.
$162,700.
What do we need for total?
$162,700.
That's what concrete testing is an estimated, as well as an ADA inspection. They normally run about $1,000 so we can pay the state taxes.
Do you have to have a, just to build a monument? You have to have that?
Has to be ADA accessible.
Of course.
Even though it is, they have to stand. It's a blast.
So that's the timeline, that's the schedule. for your information, we have raised $23,000 in outside funds, and I'm still raising funds. I think I'll raise another $9,000 or $10,000 in the
Wonderful.
Next couple of weeks. So that's, you know, that just, I'll get to tell that to the CDC on Thursday, and there should be no issues with getting approval on the additional money. So, are there any other questions or issues that we need to talk about on that? Tim, everything else is pretty well wired.
It'll be presented to council with all the funding in place on the first council meeting in June. And then we'll set up a pre-con with the contractor once we get signed contracts back.
So when's council meet? Every Tuesday, every other Tuesday, or is it?
First and second.
First
Tuesday.
And second Tuesday. So the first Tuesday
of June. First and third Tuesday of each month.
So the first Tuesday you'll take it before council. Hopefully they'll give.
So the first Tuesday in May?
No, June.
June.
So that
CDC won't approve it until the last Thursday
in May.
Of May.
Right.
Because various
always they hear about it this month, they vote on it next month.
They mull it over for a month, they vote on it at the end of May, and then we'll take it to council the first meeting of June.
So that means the contract won't start the first week in June, you'll start maybe the second or third week in June.
He is well aware of the
timeline
process. He's been made aware of it. We had to get him to sign a 30-day extension committing to this
price,
bid price, and he's agreed to do that.
Okay. Okay, and he says his bid was basically a 90-day construction period, if I recall. So.
Yeah. This is timing well. He's doing a huge, from what he told me, he's doing a huge hack and back trail project, I believe, in Wyoming.
Okay.
He's ready to mobilize from that over here.
All right.
You'll need to knock it down.
Okay. Any other questions or issues?
I ran into Woody Williams last Friday, told him what was going on. He's tickled to death. We are going to be the first one in the state of Texas.
When do we get there? $5,000?
I didn't ask William, that's what he answered.
Okay. We need publicity on that.
That's about $23,000.
We need publicity on that. And once this is determined, I would trust that Cocoa Goods Department will help us to promote it.
Of course.
And also the local magazine. See, yeah. We can't get a story in the local magazine with all the families.
That's possible.
Let us
okay, well, yeah. Just sometime after the charity starts, we'll start doing some sort of publicity. We're still aiming toward Veterans Day as a dedication / Veterans
Day. You think so?
I think so.
Well, I spoke to him about that, and here's a little hiccup. Because I think we all talked about it wouldn't make sense to have two big ceremonies a month apart.
Right.
And he is seeking paid speaking engagement on Veterans Day. He's in high demand. And his foundation needs money, and so he is seeking a $10,000 paying gig. Laura Leppert is, I think, considering bringing him to Dallas. So if he happens to be in Dallas, that's also the Skyball weekend as well. If he's in Dallas, I think we can get him here for that. Alternatively, if we can come up with $10,000 and get him to speak somewhere.
You know, somebody give him $10,000 so he speaks somewhere in the area to get him to town, is that your name?
Yeah. We're also at risk that he's being courted by somebody in Las Vegas that same weekend.
Yeah.
So I would have to say at this point, it's not looking good that he can be here. Okay. So in that case, I think we can probably get another Medal of Honor recipient to stand in his place. I've been developing a great working relationship with Doc Ballard. In fact, he was the very first person I spoke to about this project about 3 or 4 years ago when I started it. So if it happens to be that same weekend of Memorial Day, Skyball, there's going to be 15 or 20 of those guys here in town anyway, so. Well, just to keep that in the back of our mind.
What's his name?
Donald Doc Ballard.
It's going to be just as important to put the word out in advance to our Gold Star families and have as many of those
as
we can. So, okay. That's what we'll do.
But he's tickled to death that we're making progress.
What might be the date that he conceived this whole idea? What I'm getting to is that might be the date that we use to dedicate the monument. And I'm talking about Woody. When did he first conceive this idea?
I have no idea, and I don't know if you could nail it down to a month and a day.
Yeah.
I think the best you can do is the first memorial was put in this community on such and such year and day.
Yeah.
But I think if Woody can't be here, and I hope he can be, because he's really a remarkable guy.
And he's driving his project across the country, so it'd be nice if we do that.
I was told when we first started this that they would have a Medal of Honor recipient, for us. So.
Okay.
We'll cross that bridge. I will tell you this project that I'm working on for the Veteran Honor Night, our star guest speaker has bowed out and hasn't had the courtesy of telling me yet.
Nice.
I found out from somebody else.
Nice.
So we've got 200 brochures out soliciting, you know, sponsorships, mm-hmm. saying that
with that guy first of
those people's name. What her father, the squadron he was in, was deactivated after Vietnam. The Air Force is reactivating that squadron, mm-hmm. assigning it to a Predator squadron at Whiteman Air Force Base. And so that's the day they're going to, and I respect it. Yeah, the Air Force is kind of a bigger organization than Collin County, but I wish you'd call me and tell me.
Yeah, we didn't actually hear from him. Yeah, you're right. Okay, we covered all that. Let's move on to 17373. Consider to special act on adding additional names to the Veterans Memorial Wall. Like you prepared something here, Colin.
Yes. I was asked by Jeff Hall to speak at the Memorial Day service. And I kind of thought, man, if you only knew. But, but so I asked him, I said, sure. I said, can you share with me your database of all your veterans that you have buried in there? And he gave me this beautiful Excel spreadsheet, and it had over 800 names on it. I went through every single one of them, and the overwhelming majority, I'd say 95% of the names, are truly veterans. They died as old men. Out of the 5%, I identified seven names that are not on our wall. And my wife then went through Ancestry, and two of the names turned out to be World War I veterans that just happened to die during World War II period. So one of the names turns out he's from Greenville. He's buried in Pecan Grove, but he's not, there's no, we can't find any lineage to Collin County. So four of the names that are summarized here, and I'll just briefly go over, Captain Charles Largent Hines, U.S. Army Air Corps. He was killed in a plane crash of a B-17 in Nebraska in April of 45. His mother and father were from Collin County. He was born in 1922, but the 1920 census records has him living in McKinney. It's listed on genealogical records that he was born in McKinney, and his parents moved to Waco before the 1930 census. And when he enlisted out of Waco, but the records indicate that he was born in McKinney. Interestingly enough, the parents outlived all of their children, and Charles was buried in Waco after the Second World War because the parents were living there. But the parents relocated up to, I guess, to McKinney, and they retired, and they exhumed Charles from his grave in Waco and reinterred him in Pecan Grove in 1975. So that's the story on him. Master Sergeant Thomas Marshall, he died on September 6th of 44 as a Master Sergeant in the Army Air Corps. The 1940 census record has him in Los Angeles, California, as a single white male lodger with the birth year of 1921 and a former resident of McKinney, Texas, which is interesting. That was in the census record from 1935. His mother passed away, and I guess he decided to go out west to get a job. He enlisted in the Army in Los Angeles, but on his enlistment records, it said he was a native of the state of Texas. His mother was a resident of Weston, which is a community just to the north of McKinney. And having a son born in Weston, Thomas Marshall in 1921, which also goes back to the 40 census records. So that's the information we have on him. And he's, of course, buried in Pecan Grove. Sergeant Jasper Thomas Smith, his tombstone indicated he died on the 1st of April of 1944. He appears on the 1920 census as being a two-year-old living with parents and older siblings in Farmersville. His birth certificate indicates that he was born in 1917 in Blue Ridge, which is part of Collin County. I found a narrative of his death, and he was in the 702nd Bomb Squadron. And his last mission, they had an engine shot out over their target in Ludwigshafen, Germany.
Ludwigshafen.
Ludwigshafen.
It's and it must be a port on some lake or something, because Havn is a lake.
Oh, okay. All right. There's a big
Havn is a haven or a harbor.
Like Berg means village, right? So on the way back, they lost a second engine and over the coast of France, and when it got near its base, which was Tivenham, which I know very well, it lost its third engine and only had one engine left, and it tried to clear, it couldn't make it to the base, and was trying to land in an open field, but couldn't clear a tree line, and it crashed. Irony is, the plane crashed 2 miles from where my mother grew up. And when I saw that, when I went to England in 1966, I was 8 years old, and there were still wreckages and signs of World War II, you know, there. So anyway, he's from Farmersville. And the last one is parachute rigger, third class, Roy Sullivan, United States Navy. He died. There's a conflict. Where's the conflict in here? Okay. Tombstone says he died in 44, but the ship logs and everything that he was on indicated he died in 43. The date's about the same, but there's a difference. I got muster rolls that show him on three different ships during the time periods. His last ship was the USS Liscombe Bay, which was an escort carrier. He was assigned to that ship on the 21st October 43. On the 24th of November, the Liscombe Bay was off the coast of Macon Island. Macon Island was the site of a Japanese radio relay station that was attacked to put out a commission as a prelude to the Midway battles a year earlier. Anyway, the ship got sunk by a Japanese torpedo from a submarine, and it took 23 minutes for the ship to sink, and over 600 of its crewmen were lost just like that, including parachute rigger. He was a parachute rigger, so it made sense that he'd been on an escort carrier. And this particular ship, there was also an admiral that was on that ship that was lost. And this was the single largest loss of life on a U.S. Navy ship during the entire World War II.
Except for the Arizona, I guess.
I guess because the Arizona had
11 men.
Yeah.
I guess that was before the war.
Yeah. Maybe that was before the war, yeah. Okay.
Doris, if you saw the movie Pearl Harbor and you saw the story about Doris Miller, the black guy that got up and shot down and got the Navy Cross, well, he was a cook, and Doris Miller lost his life on this ship as well, which is kind of a historic.
Oh, jeez.
So, so these are the four new names. And the information that shows that they, you know, meet the criteria. I will tell you, I have two additional names. I have not got the data in yet, so I continue to work. I'm working on Charles Johnson, and his tombstone is in the Roth Cemetery, the historically black cemetery next to Congo. I have his tombstone, and I have the application form for the tombstone that lists that he was killed in World War II. Even though that's two different pieces of information, it's two pieces of information that pertain to the same thing. So in my mind, it's one piece of information. So I've gone to the county clerk's office, and they're searching him. So the other tombstone in there, it's a wild card at this point, but there's a gentleman who was in the 9th Cav, which is the Buffalo Soldier. And there's no
date. Is that Fushi?
No. Fushi is one of the guys in Pecan Grove, but he's from Greenville, so he doesn't qualify.
That's right. That's not Pecan.
That's the one I was just showing you, that you asked for the records. Those are the records you pull up off Ancestry. The guy The Buffalo Soldier, he was in the 9th U.S. Cav, which is a Buffalo Soldier, one of the four Buffalo Soldier regiments. The best I can do at this point is say that that tombstone style was distributed to families between 1879 and 1910. So that's about as close as we have at this point to figuring out when he passed away. After 1910, they changed the style of the tombstone.
Okay.
So, and before 1879, they didn't issue them to civilian cemeteries, only to the national cemetery. So I'm still looking on those guys, and as soon as we find it, you know. But
the name on that guy?
I do.
So you just got that.
I've got his tombstone here, photograph. I identified Walter Faulkner. He was Company G of the 9th U.S. Cav, and that's all it says. The tombstones, if you ever go to a national cemetery, what you'll notice is the older 1800 tombstones, they were in the shape of a shield that was engraved into the stone, and then in raised letters coming out was the guy's name, his death year, and his unit, and all that. In his case, it just has his unit. Doesn't have his death year. But so whenever you see that style of tombstone, the shield, that's a late 1800 style. And I guess they were expensive to produce, so come World War I time frame, they changed them to, you know, different style.
They're carving into this thing.
So anyway, these are the four that...
So do you take action on these four?
Yes, sir.
Since you prepared this, would I consider this a motion to approve these four names for inclusion on the wall at the next available opportunity?
You want me to state that?
No moves.
I motion that we consider these names for engraving on our existing memorial wall.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Colin did great work on the verification which we require. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We'll get those done.
So we'll add these to the existing four that have already been approved. That brings us to 8, which I think brings us to what, 384 or 85? We had 377.
I think it was 377, yeah. So. All right, very good. Great work, Colin, as always.
Is that 6 we're going to put on, you said?
We're going to have 4.
Eight.
We voted on 8. Okay. We voted on 4 last month.
All right.
Okay, that moves us to the next item on the agenda, consider discuss act on Memorial Day ceremonies this year, which is, 27 May? The Saturday before... The government day, right?
Yes, sir.
Which is the 29th, so 27 May.
I secured the ROTC to do the...
You already have?
Post of the Color Guard.
Color Guard is done. What about the wreaths?
I haven't done anything on that, but they will... That's usually just a phone call.
To the funeral home.
Yeah.
Right. Do we need to have... I got the bagpiper. Do we need to have anyone else?
We need to have 2 Gold Star parents. So I'm going to reach out
to RD.
To
read. So you're going to do that?
I'll reach out to RD to get 2 Gold Star. I know one. I've gotten to know one real well. And a dad real well.
Right. In keeping with our traditionally... simple and dignified ceremony, I figured, sort of like we did last year, we'd have the piper play America the Beautiful or something as a preamble, and then I guess I'll get up and call the color guard, pose the colors, and then you want to do speak about the new names or...
Yeah, I'll be glad at some point, to tell the story of each one of the new names.
That would be the appropriate time to do it, I think. And then lay the wreaths, and then the piper can play Amazing Grace. And,
I just had an idea. One of the new names, we met the parents, we'll ask the father.
Perfect, yeah.
He's still struggling.
Yeah.
He's still struggling, so. He told me some things that I wish I didn't hear. But
yeah.
Any program? Flyer?
You know.
We can probably put a flyer together that we can post on social media. But we typically haven't done.
Typically keep this one pretty simple.
First, yeah.
Yeah. So we do need to advertise it. We do need to, you know, get the city to put it on the website and put it on our web page and do those kinds of things. We got one more meeting between now and then, so we can finalize all that at that point. Because we don't typically do a poster and all that kind of stuff, do we, for Memorial Day? I don't think we
have.
Yeah. So we'll just do the social media thing and whatever the city wants to do as far as that.
This is Saturday prior.
Yes.
To Memorial Day prior.
Correct. And I think we did it at 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. Mm-hmm.
And we're, you know, it's a very brief and dignified ceremony, except for Colin's long-winded stories about these names. I'm just kidding. Turn the recorder off. I'm sorry.
I just find it amazing that we continue to keep identifying these names.
It is pretty amazing.
It is. It
breaks my heart when we have to add a new name with somebody that that died that you know recently. But
right.
it's easier when we find these names that we've overlooked.
Yeah.
And R.D. Foster, who's you know was the guy who spearheaded this to begin with. He still firmly believes there's still some more World War II guys, and that's what we keep finding is World War II guys. So.
I got just an idea to throw out. It made me think when you didn't have a lot of information for the one Buffalo soldier, and if we were never to get information enough to put them on the wall, is there something we can do that would be kind of inclusive of those that we either missed for whatever reason, or we just don't have enough information for, or does that kind of fall into the POW/MIA kind of?
Well, I guess when you say do
sort of like the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington, I guess. Something like that. I'm not thinking anything big that would change on a memorial, but if there's.
Well, I think
way you could,
the thing to say is that between RD and myself, we are active all the time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm not talking about
the
that.
Concern, though, is I told RD, what happens when you and I are gone?
Who's
going to carry this torch?
You're saying maybe sort of at the end, and for all other.
Yeah, for any others that served in Collin County. Or something. Yeah. That's an idea.
Something to think about.
Something to definitely think about.
We could have a monument for the unknowns. The you know, just the unknown that served in the military from Collin County.
Well, there's another one I didn't mention, but C.L. O'Brien was killed in the Mexican War, and we believe he's the very first one. I just need another piece of information on him.
Yeah.
And I've already got about a half a dozen Civil War guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we need to kind of let the political climate. last thing I want to do is put something on that wall that people are going to object to. And
right.
No, I'm thinking of a separate monument, a separate square
with stone engraved with
possibly all the seals of all the services on it.
No, that's a thought.
I mean from Andy's idea, that's what comes to my mind.
Something to think about. You know, those that aren't accounted for, but are out there.
Yeah, that's something to think about. We can.
I think the best way to do it would be to have a separate pedestal or monument.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. With a plaque or something.
Yeah, you can't write on plaques. You can't engrave on the wall. Yeah.
No, it would be separate. It could be up in the flag plaza area.
Here's a thought.
The unknowns.
Were we going to consider putting a little plaque by Flag Plaza to honor the people that are donating this extra money?
I was hoping to not do that, but
if we haven't made a promise, then
yeah,
rewind the thing and start over.
I've told a couple of them. I said, "You're doing this for the honor and the dignity of it. You know, no recognition." And everybody's gonna find it out.
Can't take a chance.
So, I mean, if somebody wanted to write a big check, and then we felt it would make sense to put their name on something, then yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, the practical thing that we could do that wouldn't incur a bunch of cost is take a couple of those square bricks. Like there's one for Bill Dowdy, where they use multiple bricks to put a remembrance for him. We could do something like that in our brick paver.
We could certainly do a brick paver.
And that would cost us a lot of money.
Right.
Or you could just do like a little bronze plaque stand in front of the flag plaza that says this flag plaza is dedicated to all those that are unknowns or whatever we
all have served.
Yeah. And say it eloquently that, and then you kind of all encompass it.
That's true. It might be good actually if you encompass people who have served from Collin County.
Right.
So it's where you have a memorial.
Which is basically what Flag Plaza is.
Right. You have a recognition of all.
Yeah, someday we ought to do some sort of a plaque for that. Let's think about that. Yeah. Let's see what our budget comes out to.
Let's get this one done first.
We have any money, maybe we might think about that down the road. All right, so next month I'll bring in a program agenda. If you'll line up the Gold Star families, and can I get a volunteer to call about the wreaths? Somebody call about the wreaths.
Who does the wreaths for us?
Turrentine
Jackson Funeral.
All right.
They usually know all of that. All you got to do is call and ask them. Tell them you need two wreaths for the Memorial Day ceremony.
You want more than two?
Two's what we do.
Two's what we do.
And who do I call?
Why the two?
One on each side of the fountain, basically.
Okay, I think it's just for balance.
Sounds good, man.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know why. It's just that's what they did before.
Who do I call?
Turrentine Jackson Funeral.
The wife of the owner or the sister of the owner.
I think I have the name and number in my spreadsheet.
I mean, too many.
Okay, and then we'll finalize all that stuff, the order of what we do next meeting, and we'll be ready to go.
Do you need any, when we did before, MCDC before, we had a little PowerPoint, do you need anything done for the presentation?
No, I told Cindy today that I'm not going to do a PowerPoint, I'm just going to speak.
Okay. Because I'll be glad to do something for you.
I don't think it's necessary.
This really is.
At this point, they all know.
This is how much money we have.
They all know, and they know why we're asking, so I think it's pretty. All right, now those citizens here for citizen comments, board commissioner comments. I have one. The DAR had their World War I ceremony.
And I didn't make it.
They asked me to speak, so I spoke. About the wall, about the monuments, what's going on at the park. And then I spoke about my own grandfather, who was a doughboy in France. And then they had, they read the 70 names of the World War I war dead that are on the wall. And so they had the high school color guard there. So it was a very nice ceremony. Came off very nice. It was fairly, about 40 people maybe. Probably 40 people there, but I don't think there was much advertising.
I meant to go, and then by the time it was over, I remembered it. And I thought,
the mayor was there for, I don't know if you saw him, I think you were speaking.
He was
grabbing a bike wheel.
He was down.
He stopped.
Yeah, he was down at the club because they had a Randy Pope deal at the club, and he passed by and saw something was going on at the park, so he came to
work.
Yeah, I was sweating.
Yeah, which was kind of cool. But yeah, but it was a nice ceremony. They did a good job, and it was fairly well attended. So I think it's a good thing for us to be present at those kind of things when they put them together at the park. So, that's all I have. Anybody else have anything that we need to cover?
We've got the Veteran Honor Night on the 20th of May. And
what is that? I saw that on the minute.
It's a fundraiser. It's through the Military Veteran Peer Network, who is a basically a subsidiary of the Texas Veterans Commission.
Okay.
And the money's going to go to indigent veterans that we come into contact through either the mental health authorities or the Veterans Court. And some of the money's going to also go to the Fallen Warrior Portrait Project. It's going to be our big fundraiser for the year.
Cool.
You
sent some
phones? I can. Tickets are 25 ahead. And
$25 ahead?
Yeah. And Papa's Barbecue, we're going to have Texoma Highway, a very competent country band, and R.D. Foster's going to play a few songs. We're going to have Judge Roach, Judge Barnett Walker, Judge Self speak. I did have the daughter of a Medal of Honor recipient who was going to be there.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But I found out from the... Her father got the Medal of Honor posthumously for saving the life of the guy that was flying in the back seat. And the guy in the back seat has a gun shop, also lives in the area, has a gun shop in Richardson. And so the two of them were going to be our honored guests. She's going to bring the father's Medal of Honor. However, when I called the backseater, Mike Brown is his name, last week, because I told him that a Medal of Honor recipient that he used to work for was in Gainesville, he had told me that he's been asked to go to Whiteman Air Force Base at the rededication of the squadron that the pilot was a member of. And he told me that Angela was also going to be there. And I thought, well, Angela hasn't called me. So, not for sure, but we do have a fallback. We do have guaranteed. We have Paul Reed, who wrote the book Contum Diaries. He's got a really compelling story. Vietnam veteran, he's going to be there. He found a diary on the battlefield from a soldier that he thought he'd killed. Turns out that the diary was full of love poems and poetry, too. So 20 years after the war, he reunited that diary with his former enemy and has since become friends. And he came to realize this guy was a human being, not this subhuman personality. So it's a really, really cool story. He's going to be there. There's an outside chance we might have a Navy SEAL Medal of Honor recipient from Vietnam as well. But I don't really want to say anything about that because he has a tendency to also note not show or show up three sheets to the wind. So
what's the location?
Rock Creek Ranch. Which, if you go up, if anybody knows of Bill Bates' old place, you go up, you go north on Lake Forest, and the road turns to the west and goes towards Prosper, and it turns into 1461, I believe. And Bill Bates' ranch is about a mile or so down on the right. And nice venue, so.
Okay, the annual Greater Dallas Military Foundation Military Ball is April 22nd. That's a Saturday night. I have two open seats at my table if anybody's interested. It is a formal event.
Black tie.
Black tie. So if anybody's interested, you're certainly welcome to join us at our table.
Patriots Ball?
It's the Patriots Ball, right.
And how much are those tickets?
Yeah, absolutely.
Those tickets are $250 apiece. We did a table. We did a bronze sponsorship, so. And I had two people just back out, so. I'm not selling the. You can just come sit at our table. I'm not saying you have to buy a ticket. We already paid for the ticket.
Oh.
I'm just saying if you want to. You want to go, I've got a seat for you.
So you convinced me.
You do have to, however, have to wear your mess dress.
Oh, really?
Or a tux.
Can I come in a black tie?
Huh?
I usually wear a black tie if I wear a black suit and if I wear a tux. That's not black tie.
That won't work.
It is very true.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I might be interested. I just need to
I work. Have two bow ties. I'll let you have
one. I haven't tried my tux on in 20 years. I got a bad
feeling. George and his wife are joining us at the table, so you'll be. We only have one more member. Or we have a meeting.
That's right. You can't have three of us.
We just
right?
So.
So the first come, first serve, let me know and I'll put you down. The last thing I have is 12 May is the annual VFW Post 2150 Golf Tournament, which of course raises a lot of money for us in the monument. So please put, this year it's on a Friday, and it's at the same place it was last year, at Westridge. So.
When are they planning meetings? Because I haven't attended
one. That means on Wednesday nights after the regular post meeting, so they're meeting tonight, meeting right now.
And where will it be?
Westridge Golf Club over here on Custer, off Custer.
And what time do we need to be Westridge?
Westridge, right. I believe the tee off is 8 a.m. Yeah, so it's registration at 7 o'clock, tee off at 8 a.m. Which I like because we'll be done at lunchtime and still have the rest of Friday. So. But yeah, even if you can just come out and make an appearance and just say hi, and maybe even afterwards, and just kind of socialize with the group would be nice.
We can play, or that is
you
for
can
other
play,
people.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You do not.
Is there anything we need to do?
Look,
if you work up there, what time should you come?
I'd say probably noonish, between 12 and 1.
12 and 1?
Mm-hmm.
Is everyone hanging? I don't want to hang out for a little while.
Yeah, because they have good food and good prizes. They have a bunch of door prizes and team prizes and things, so there's good social time afterwards.
Now, is there anything we can do for them? Because I went one time and they had nothing for me.
They get a fair
everybody
number of
was out on the golf course.
Yeah, because they got the women's auxiliary and the motorcycle group and all that. They all show up to help, so they really have plenty of help. I think it's probably just as good to show up at the end of the day and say,
at lunchtime,
with the board, I really appreciate you guys raising the money and that kind of stuff. Would be just as appreciated.
Wanted to get everybody off the course fast because people have tee times and whatnot.
Where's their full location?
Western. Okay.
May 12th. That's a Friday.
Virginia and Colorado. Where else? Western Ranch.
I think it's Westridge Golf Club.
Is it?
Of course, yeah. It's the Haganey Golf Academy over there.
South Virginia, west
South of Virginia?
It's
that one that has a fairway comes up along Custer.
Correct.
Two
holes on Custer and the driving range is on
the. May we bring our spouses? So,
absolutely.
Okay.
No, that's one of the
subdivisions. Oh, well, they're
showing that. Yeah, if you want to play, just pull up the Post website, VFW Post 2150. There's a place there where you can register to play.
I'll drive the cart.
All right, anything else?
Deal.
It's cheap. It's $400.
For a team.
Right? Yeah. It's probably the cheapest entry
it's
you'll
one
find.
One of the less expensive charity tournaments that you'll find. Yes. Yeah.
And it's one of the more fun.
It is. It's a fun tournament. That's not a bad golf course for a scramble. It's fun. So. All right. So if nothing else, then I'll entertain a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
A motion that we adjourn the meeting.
Do we have a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Everybody wants to hang around.
Good to see you again.
You too, George.
All right.